You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Introducing Wondersuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the Wondersuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Yo, 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 welcome back to the greatest show on earth, the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I am your host, Xavier Miller. And today, as y'all know, I got another special, special episode, man. This is a two-part series with a very special guest. We've always connected. We did InvestFest together. He's been on the podcast twice. Every time he's been on, he's been killing it. So I'm always super happy to have him back. And if y'all tapped into part one, y'all seen what was going on. So welcome back for part two, my brother Welby. What's up, bro? What's up?
Appreciate you, man.
Let's get right into it, man. Something that when you were speaking, something you said that stuck with me is you said the stuff that worked in 2019. The stuff that worked in 2020, the stuff that worked in 2021, it ain't going to work today and moving forward. Speak on first, like, why do you think that is, and what can people do to adapt to these changing times?
Well, I was saying that it was the wild, wild west during COVID season. And what happened is that all you had to do is throw crap to the wall and it'll stick. So if you wanted to sell a property, even if you did half-ass work on the property, there's a good chance that by the time you put the property on the market, you're going to be able to sell that property, no problem. That led to investors with minimal experience look like they were superstars. So in addition to that, it also made realtors with minimal experience look like they were great realtors because they were just selling properties back to back to back. If you remember during those days, people were bypassing inspections. People were paying well above asking on a property. So everybody looked like they were superstars, right? Yeah. Now in 2024, you're not going to be able to play those type of games anymore. If you start paying attention now, you start doing your research, you're starting to see that now inspection contingencies are back, and it's in the offer sheet of a property that contingent on the inspection, the property passing, will the process of continuing to acquire the property continue or it'll stop. Also, what you're starting to see happen too is seller's concessions are starting to come back around now too. You know what a seller's concession is?
What's that?
Basically, a seller's concession, to keep it real simple, is that the seller is giving the buyer money towards their closing cost for them to be able to minimize what they're coming to the table to buy that property. That's basically what a seller's concession is doing. Okay. A seller's giving money to the buyer. That's starting to increase now where that wasn't before. So the room for error in 2024 is not there anymore. You don't have that much room for error. You cannot put a product on the market and think you're just going to slap it together and anybody's just going to buy it now just to buy it, because buyers are expecting more and are more more educated, I guess you could say, on that, and they're not looking the other way and just gonna just buy your property just to buy it. That's not gonna happen. So that's why I say you need to be more intentional in 2024.
No, you have to be, because even from a social media standpoint, I'm seeing people do strategies that worked when everybody had money that don't work today.
Like what?
Like lifestyle marketing.
Uh huh.
In my opinion at least, it seems like there's a change happening. It seems like people kind of fed up with that a little bit. They like, because 2020 went crazy. During COVID, everybody in the house, everybody had money. So you was, but now
everybody had money because the government was giving you the money.
Right.
You know, and then you had people that were incentivized not to go to work. I had my nieces and my nephews telling me, Uncle Welby, why should I go to work? When the government, what I'm getting paid on unemployment is more than what going to work is.
Right.
But that great, I told my nieces and my nephews, that gravy train is going to end. How long did it go for? A year and a half?
About a year and a half.
2 years?
Yeah. Which is a long time.
That ain't shit.
It ain't. No, I'm
that ain't.
I mean, like, because some people, they probably would expect the last 3 to 6 months. You getting free money for nothing.
Yeah, but even if it is 3 to 6 months, even if it was 2 years, when you look at the bigger picture of things,
you're right.
So that's nothing. So when I mentioned about people taking penitentiary chances, doing certain scams,
I remember,
right?
Yep.
And people said people were upset with me when I brought that up.
Yep. They was
but
mad.
Just think of the window of time. Your COVID was just yesterday.
Man, that shit flew by.
Flew by. Look how fast the money dried up. Look how fast that money dried up. Now what are you going to do?
Dang. I want to take it back for a second, just for the people, so they could get a more understanding on, like, who you are and how did you come to have this mindset and strong will with so many things. Like, take up, like, coming up, because I know you got a twin brother.
Yeah.
And I know you told me, like, probably, like, a lot of stuff that you experienced coming up. Break it down for the people that, like, so they can understand, like, how the hell this dude come so strong will. Because I know some of the stuff that you went through.
Well, listen, man, you know, I'm first generation Haitian American.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up in the projects. It was five boys. My parents had five boys. My parents, my aunt, my uncle were living in
Damn.
In a small three-bedroom apartment. When I grew up, I had low self-esteem. I was cross-eyed. I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna give an exclusive that I've never told nobody ever. I was born cross-eyed. When I was born cross-eyed, before moving to Queens, my parents decided that they wanted to have me and my brother, my twin brother, me and my twin brother was cross-eyed. And they wanted us to have surgery to get our eyes corrected, to get them straight. Because you can see my eyes are straight now, yeah. Right? So they wanted to do that before moving from the projects to Queens. They wanted our eyes to be straight. With that, when the surgery was completed, the doctor said, hey, you guys are going to be seeing double for about 2-3 weeks, and then it'll subside, and then you'll just see normal. You follow what I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. 2 weeks came and went for me, and I still see double. Here it is now, my entire life.
You still see double.
I still see double. So when I see you now and I talk to you now, I'm seeing two of you.
What?
I'm dead serious. Nobody knows this. So when the adversities I've dealt with in my life, you can't tell me nothing about a fight or a struggle about the shit that you're going through when I got a hard nose. Nah, you got it. We got to get to it, bro. We got to get to it. So to this day, I still see double. So with seeing double, I was a welder. I got my Class B welder's license. Taking the test to get your welder's license, there's an eye exam for that as well. I had to lie. Because if they knew that I saw double, they wouldn't allow me to take the test.
Facts.
When I go to get my driver's license, I have to lie when I go to get my driver's license, because if I told them that I see double, there would be a problem. Till this day, the doctors always wondered, how the hell is it that you're able to accomplish the things that you've done, drive the way you drive? I drive like everybody else. I see and do everything like everybody else does. But till this day, I still see double. So these are some of the parts of the things growing up that I've had to overcome to be where I'm at today. What else? As a kid, we only had one pair of sneakers at the beginning of the year, and that was my pair of sneakers I had to wear
for the whole year.
That was the sneakers I had to wear to go to school. That's the sneakers I had to wear to go to play gym. That was the sneakers I had to wear to do work around the house. Those were the only one pair of kicks that I had for the entire year. So by the time we went midway through, I had holes in the bottom of my feet.
Yeah, they done.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I would get a haircut once a year. My father would take me and my five brothers, because it was five of us, it's expensive, take us to go get our haircuts at the beginning of the school year, and says, see you next year. So that's why there's nothing you're going to tell me I can't get that I want that I'm not going to get. There's nothing that you're going to tell me that I don't want that I'm not going to get.
Yes, seeing double.
You're not the only one that's suffering. I'm sorry. I understand what you're going through. My heart goes out to you. I have empathy for you. I understand. But there's eventually you're going to have to say, the only person that's going to save you is you.
Absolutely.
When you decide to open up that door and take that chance and betting on yourself, nobody going to ride with you. Nobody is going to ride with you, bro.
You're right. Oh, you're not lying at all. How long have you been on online, social media?
I got on Instagram, I don't know, maybe 16. I didn't start taking it serious till like 18.
18?
Yeah.
So that's recent, bro.
Yeah.
And what, so was you already in real estate at the time?
Oh, I've been in the game since 20. I've been in the game since 2003, but understand, I don't want anybody to just, for those that don't know, I've been in the game since 2003, but I got wiped out in this business three times. I started out in the end of 2003, 2004, and by 2008, I got wiped out. Bankruptcy, foreclosures, etc. Jumped back in the game around 2010, and around 2011 or so, I was wiped out again. Lost it all.
Another bankruptcy or no?
Not foreclosure, losing the property, owing Bank of America, Chase Bank, Amex. I was done, bro.
How you get out of that?
I went to work. In every aspect, whatever way you want to talk, in every aspect. People are looking to hear some mythical
right
answer. Shit. Yeah. No, I went to work. That's what I did. I went to work.
How long did it take you to get out of it?
For the times that I'm sharing about me losing it,
yeah,
it was over 13 years, bro. It
took 13 years.
Yeah, 13 years.
The reason I'm asking, because so many people, when you go through all that, bankruptcy, foreclosures, you know, people give up. They just be like, this ain't
for here's the thing. With the bankruptcies and the foreclosures, you're told that if you do have any of those type of things,
It's over. Yeah.
And that you can't entertain doing anything for at least the next 7 years.
Yep.
I was back in the game in a couple of months.
How? Yo, what? Yeah, because that's what I've heard plenty of people when they talk about bankruptcy. They like, for the next 7 years, pretty much.
I was back in the game a couple of months. My credit at the time was a 700. And when I had the foreclosures and the lawsuits from Chase Bank and Capital One and everything else, my credit went to a 500. They came after me, had judgments against me and everything. And a couple of months later, I was back at the 700s.
Back at the 700s.
Yeah.
Look, hold on. I know you probably enjoying this episode. Honestly, I don't even know what y'all talking about here, but I know what me and my guys about to tell you. You are guaranteed to get rich with this information as long as you execute on this stuff. So look, we're going to show you how to get $100,000 in business funding, but more specifically, put that funding into real estate so you can buy properties to fix and flip, or you can go buy property so you can fix up and rent out and get monthly cash flow. Look, we're having a 100% free masterclass, no gags, no gimmicks, where we're going to show you specifically how to do those steps and those things in three simple steps. All you have to do is go to fundyourfreedommasterclass.com. Everything is free. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Let's get it.
You know, when people hear that, they're going to be like, what the hell? There ain't no way that, you know how the internet love calling everything cat.
I hear you.
You know how it is.
I hear you.
But that speaks to your resilience, though.
Like the said, thing is that there's no, where there's a will, there's a way is true. Just like if there's a will, there's a way when the banks deny you to buy something, you know, in particular real estate. If there's a will, there's a way if it's doable, not something that's unrealistic, you know, so... when those things happened, part of it was through educating ourselves. So my twin brother is the one that actually started getting me back right with my credit.
So he the one to help
you. He's the one that got me back right because we both was going through our losses simultaneously. That's and crazy. He has a passion
for credit.
He has a passion for credit. He loves the credit business. I have a passion for real estate. And when those things occurred with me, he did what he had to do for me. And then
you probably helped them with real estate.
Of course I did. That's exactly what we do, you know. And then I got myself back in the game. The thing is, people expect that with these quick interviews or these quick snip shots that you're going to put up, you think that you understand me.
Exactly.
You know, we only get a soundbite, 50, 60 seconds. And you expecting a 21-year career experience to explain it all to you in a 60-second. Most of the time, what we doing with our sound bites, most of the time what we're doing is punching you in your throat to make you want to watch.
Exactly. That's part of the game.
Yeah. So, but listen to what I'm sharing with you. I give you step by step by step of what I've done and how to do it. In every aspect of it.
Let me ask you this, because this is, I was having a conversation with somebody else that's accomplished great things, hit millionaire status and all that. And I asked him, does he feel like a millionaire? So I want to ask you that same question. Do you feel like that?
I don't know. I'd be lying to you. I don't know, because what I thought it would be, what I thought it would be, based off of the way it's portrayed.
You thought it was going to be like?
I thought that when you hit the threshold and it says millionaire, that the balloons would start popping, the trombones would start, you know, playing, and congratulations would be presented to you. That's what I thought. So do I feel, does it feel like it? I don't know. I don't know. I can't say I it feels like it. Am I? Yes, I am. Thank you. I am. am I financially stable? I am. Am I satisfied? No, not even close.
What drives you now?
What drives me now? I want to see other people do it better than me. That's what drives me. I said to you many times, and I say it to many people many times, I hope you blow right past me.
Yeah, you definitely said it.
Right?
Yep.
So I get a lot of satisfaction from assisting people, sharing with people the knowledge. I'm talking about really sharing with them the game. Because anybody will tell you, you come and you play with me, you play with my family. I'm talking about our family. And on the flips, the profit side of things, you know, with what I do with my mentees, yeah. Yo, they know that I'm hard on you. I'm hard on you. You're gonna probably cry sometimes. I'm probably gonna cry sometimes with you. Who knows? But I'm gonna hold your feet to the fire. And I get so much satisfaction to seeing people that literally took the information, because what I'm sharing with you works. It works. It works. It's not even a question if it works. It does work. And to see them take that information and actually apply it and then to see what they were able, what it took me 13 years to do, they doing it in months, a year, they're doing it. So I get a lot of sad. That's what drives me. Of course I want to make money. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't want to make money? Come on. Of course I like nice things. Of course I want to buy the next exotic car again. Of course I'm going to buy it. I'm not stupid. That's what I'm working. I'm going to treat myself, right? But I'm getting satisfaction a lot from helping the people, definitely.
Yo, let me tell the listeners and watchers this just so y'all can understand how transparent Welby is. The first time me and Welby linked up, we was in my car. No, we recorded, and then we got in my car to go to another studio. And while we in my car, he like, man, look, I'm gonna show you something. Start showing me stock portfolio, real estate portfolio. I'm talking, I ain't gonna say no specific number. I'm talking millions.
You can tell him. I mean, you could. You don't have to give him a specific, but you right, could. Right. I mean, you know.
You know, it was millions. This was like eight figures in assets. He just showed me. Like, I'm like, and that's the first time somebody like usually. You investigate to see what's going on with somebody for real. That's the, but you just volunteered it to me. You just like, here.
But I'm, you know, maybe I'm a fool.
Why?
No, I'm just saying, maybe I'm a fool, right? I thought that's what's supposed to happen.
Hey, Web, let me tell you something. If you think these people get on these platforms and showing their assets, man, that shit ain't happening.
Maybe I'm a fool, bro. Maybe I'm a fool because, listen, man, you know, I don't understand the word keeping it real if you're just being who you are. So I don't know. I don't understand. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it real when you being who you are. I'm just being myself. Anybody that knows me, that you can meet, that's known me the past 20, 30 years, they'll tell you the way Welby is. This is how he's always been like this. I'm a hard head. I love hard though.
Did you have these same habits and attributes? You always had these. Because some people, I'm asking this because some people think I'm gonna hit millionaire status and then I'm gonna have these habits. No, I'm gonna have this attitude.
I've been a hustler my whole life, bro. I've been a hustler my whole life. I've been going getting to it, but here's the thing: I was trying to figure things out. I didn't know. I was just trying to figure things out. But one thing that I've always had is discipline, though. I've always had discipline.
How important is that?
Extremely disciplined. Because how you show up in your personal life is how you're going to show up in business, too.
Some people don't believe that, so I'll break that down. Some people are like, what?
In my personal life, you don't need a clock around me. If you say, hey, Welby, pull up at 3 o'clock, you don't even got to think about it. Welby's outside at 2:35. I get teased all the time from people telling me, why are you leaving so early? Everybody tells me that. But here's the thing. One, I hate rushing. Two, I respect your time. That's how I've always been.
Always been like that.
Then that transitioned into employment. That transitioned into business. That transitioned into everything else. If you are somebody that doesn't even respect your own time, it's gonna show up in your business too. I promise you.
Yeah.
I promise you, it's gonna show up in your business too.
That's true. They say how you do one thing is how you do everything.
It's so true, so true. Mm-hmm.
So what do you say? Because still, this conversation we had. No matter what, it's like younger people, especially under 30, the mentality of the getting rich quick, getting rich overnight, that's just something that people can't shake. And social media doesn't help people because you see all these people popping it, and you're like, yo, I need to have it within the next 12 months. What would you say to younger people to relieve them of that, help relieve them of that mentality?
The majority of the people that you're paying attention to that are overnight successes are full of shit. It doesn't happen like that.
Oh, real, it's real.
Stop bringing up an anecdotal situation and making that anecdotal situation the norm. There's always an exception to the rule with anything. Always an exception to the rule. The fact of the matter is there's only 400 spots on an NBA for somebody to get onto the NBA. There's only 400 seats. throughout the teams. That's a bottom line. There's tens and tens of thousands of collegiate students, and there's only 400 spots. Then there's millions above that. Here's what's the facts. 99.9% of y'all will not make it to the NBA. That's just what it is.
Yep.
So you factor in because LeBron James did it, you're setting yourself up.
You said that's you're right. That's a good analogy.
So investing in real estate, is there somebody that just came through the door and just hit a home run and just took off? Absolutely. The majority, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. That's just the truth.
Damn. I know another thing that people were saying online about the previous content we made was, especially when he talked about the interest rates. Yeah. Some people like that one guy, he was like, what did he say? He was like, he said interest rates don't matter.
Yes.
And people are like, I don't know if that's a good strategy. You could fuck yourself in the end.
So here's the thing. In the last interview that we did, I said interest rates does not matter.
Yeah.
And I explained why. And it ruffled a lot of feathers. People got upset.
A lot.
And then there was a gentleman that brought up, I forgot his name. Nice guy.
I think it's Edward.
Edward, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
I say, hey, I'm a fan of you, brother. The majority of the people that listens to him should listen to what he said about what I said. You should listen to him and listen to what he said and don't listen to me. Listen to him. But Edwin, your demographic of people are not who I'm talking to. You got what I'm saying? I'm not talking to those people. I'm talking to people that are investing. The mentality and the mindset of an investor is different than the mentality of a regular purchaser. So when I say that interest rates does not matter, I stand on it. I stand on it. In the last episode that we just finished doing, I gave you some receipts on some properties.
Yep.
One of the properties that I showed you, the interest rate on that property is 7.75%. The majority of people today that would have heard a 7.75% interest rate would say, oh my God, that's too high. I'm not buying it.
Yep.
I'm right, right?
Absolutely, yep.
Okay. Let me show you an example why interest rates does not matter.
Come on, break it down.
Okay. So we can make it an even 8% interest rate.
Okay.
As we talked about in the last episode, that property has over $250,000 in equity immediately. So while most people are waiting for appreciation, I make my appreciation immediately. So I got $250,000 in equity, and the property after expenses is netting me over $4,500 a month. So I ask you, it's got an 8% interest rate. Would you buy it or not?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
No, that's not even the question. You net $4,500.
So the interest rate means absolutely nothing.
But you know what they're going to say to that, though? They're going to say, every property not going to make that much money.
Well, then that's not the property I'm buying. You remember what we just said at the beginning of this interview? You have to be intentional.
Yep.
I'm intentional at all times. So whatever the next person wants to do, whatever rules they're willing to break, I'm not. My properties, I have a threshold that it needs to hit for me for it to make sense for me to acquire it.
What is that threshold, if you don't mind sharing?
Well, it's a multitude. If we're talking about flipping, if we're talking about buy and hold, it's a multitude of things.
Okay.
But this is the conversations that people don't talk about. This is what they don't talk about. So if we're talking about in my area, If I'm buying a single family home, I'm flipping that property. I'm flipping that property to sell that property for the profit.
Okay.
If I bought a two family property in my area, I'm flipping that property. I'm renovating that property, selling it for my profit.
Okay.
I'm very disciplined. When I flip, the intentions of me flipping is to take the proceeds, the profits, so I could ultimately buy me cash flowing assets. If it's a three family, four family, five family, six family, I'm keeping it. Most people, when they're buying their properties, they're buying their properties at a retail price. irregardless of the condition. You got people that are buying properties that should be burned to the ground.
No, this is a fact.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
That property should have been burned to the ground and you paying retail for it.
Should have been demoed.
You don't even know why you bought it. You don't even know what your plans are with it. You just bought it. When I buy my properties, I'm only buying properties that are distressed properties and or underperforming properties. I got to be able to add value to my properties. Most people don't want to put in that type of work.
Hell no.
I'm willing to put in that type of work, so I want to be compensated for that. How do I get compensated for that? The reward is the equity. Mm-hmm. The reward is the cash flow. That's my game plan. When you follow the game plan, it protects you. I'll explain further. We talked about it many a times over again about the what ifs of investing in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
It's not if
something goes wrong.
It's when it goes wrong.
Yeah.
It's not if, it's when it goes wrong. So when these things go wrong, are you able to absorb those issues and still thrive? So with the examples of the properties that I gave you, just one of them, I asked you what was the first rent. And when you said the rent was $1,900, it covered the entire mortgage. Taxes, insurance, and everything. There were still three other apartments there. So it would have to take more than two-thirds of my apartment building to not be performing for me to be in the red.
That's a hell of a business model. Do you advise that to all your mentees regarding if it's one or two units, leave it alone?
As far as what?
Like,
oh,
like,
no. I understand what you're saying now.
Okay.
Do I advise? That's the strategy within my market that works.
Oh, within your, okay. So you change the strategy based on
of
the market?
Of course, but the strategy I share works in every market.
Mm.
It's not my market only. It works in every.
Because that's what people was thinking. They that's his market.
No. I got mentees in Virginia applying the same shit. I got mentees here in Texas applying the same shit. I got mentees in New York. I got mentees in Florida.
I've been on the calls. They're from everywhere.
They're from everywhere.
Yeah.
The thing is that what I'm sharing is the fundamentals. When you understand the fundamentals, it's applicable across the country. You just got to follow it. And then based off of that, have the ability to adapt to what the market gives you.
Why do you think so many, because with that being said, you probably the only person, one of the few people that I've heard with this business model consistently. You hear so many real estate people when they make videos or they teach people about real estate, they like, was it a single family or any, you should get the property, get the cash flow, and blah, 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 blah. Why do you think yours is so, like, different than the most, like, common investors, what's the word I'm looking for, advice?
Why is mine different?
Yeah, because that's a different business model than, like, most real estate investors.
I guess because it's not sexy, I guess. I guess I don't package it in a nice bow, maybe.
Mm.
Maybe that's what it is. A lot of the strategies that
it's working. It's working on a crazy level.
Listen, man, I have a very good friend of mine, and he and I was talking a couple of months ago, and he had told me, I say this humbly, he says, "Well, you like Jay-Z." I said, "What do you mean by that?" He says, "Listen, man, there's a lot of rappers out here." He says, there's not many that has 13 number one albums. There's not many that has had as many hits as him. So Jay-Z is special. He says, that's how you are. Because what you're sharing the majority of people can't relate to it. The majority of people don't understand it. That's why a lot of the times they'll say that's impossible.
Yeah.
But when you start talking to people that we both know, our models mirror a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, our numbers mirror a lot, and we're all over the country. All over the country.
What would you say? Let me. Just for content wise, I want to play devil's advocate for conversation. What would you say? Because there's going to be a lot of people that say, "Man, he could." It's easy for him to talk that talk now because he made the money. He got the disposable income to do this, do that with the property. What would you say to those people? And second question is, let's say if you had you lost everything today. You had to start over from scratch. You dropped off in the market. What would you do?
Okay, so the first question is what now?
What would you say to those people that's like, it's easy for him to do all these things or speak like this because he has the excess capital?
What I'd say to them is how convenient. How convenient for you to utilize that as an excuse. How convenient. That's what I would say to them. In addition to that, go to work. That's what I would tell you. Go to work. Because the same thing that you're doing is what I did too, but what I did is I took my employment money and I invested it in my business. So if you're working, which majority of the people that's going to be watching this got a 9-to-5, absolutely. I'm pretty confident that most of the people aren't bums staying at home. They're at work working, right?
We hope so.
Okay, so go to work. Take the money that you're making from your employment and invest it in your business and sacrifice. Sit your butt home for a little bit. I sat down for a couple of years.
And when you say sat down, what you mean by that?
I sat down. I did not. No vacations.
None.
Nothing. You don't deserve a vacation. That, I'm so.
You know when they go ahead.
It's okay. They could get upset with me. I'll get that. I'm gonna tell you. You do not deserve a vacation. You do not deserve a new Louis Vuitton bag. You do not deserve a new car. You earn it. I didn't deserve it at those times, even though I recklessly did it at those times. I was reckless buying them too. When I came to the understanding I didn't deserve it, what the hell am I doing in Jamaica, sipping on pina colada, living my best life, while my home is in shambles? You know how many people do that?
Every day.
Every day. I'm not throwing shots.
We're not throwing shots.
I did it too.
Facts.
So I said, I'm no more vacation. I drove the same car. Got to be about 15 years. I kept it nice though. It looked good though.
You got to.
15. For about 15 years, 14 years, I drove the same car. For a long time.
No vacation, same car. You probably wasn't eating out, was you?
Not as much. A little bit.
Like fine dining.
Oh, no. Definitely not. Definitely not. I sat my ass down for real, bro. Because listen, you got to make a choice. I always said that I was fighting for my economic life. Because I was dying. When you got to think, you got to look at money as life. We all eventually going to die, right?
Yep.
We all going to die. It's just the truth. What we do every day, trying to keep ourselves healthy, is to prolong that. It's no different than having money. Money will die eventually for most people if you don't find a way to maintain it, nurture it, and take care of it. Just the truth. What I was doing is that I was living check to check, and I like to always use the analogy, one sheet on a banana peel and I always use this analogy. I had one foot on a banana peel and another foot on a sheet of ice. And one false move, I'm out of here. That's how my life was. I lived with my back against the wall. I didn't want to live like that no more. So what I did is, like I said, go to work. I sacrificed, went to work, and as I went to work, stacked up. When my employer gave me an opportunity to work overtime, I worked it. I wasn't too cool not to. I worked 7 days a week, and I worked it, and as slowly my back came off the wall.
Seven days a week?
Yes.
For how long?
Man.
For a lot, for years.
2-3 years.
You was grinding.
I was grinding.
I was grinding, for real.
People were laughing at me, brother. People were laughing at me. People looking like I'm possessed. People telling me, you corny because you ain't going out. You ain't doing this and doing that. Those same people hollering at your boy today. Well, not today. They've been hollering at your boy for the past decade. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's real.
So that's what I would tell people. The second question was what?
If
I lost everything.
Yep, how would you?
If I lost everything, the first thing that I would start to do is I would bet on me.
What does that mean?
I would truly, truly bet on me. When you ask somebody, man, why don't you bet on yourself? They don't truly understand that shit.
They don't.
They don't really understand that.
That's fact.
And I was, and when I reflect in my past, I was never truly betting on me. When I decided to bet on me, betting on me partially means become selfish.
Damn.
Because you got to be crazy to do the shit that you say that you about to do. You got to be crazy to do what you say you about to set forth to do. Because the majority of the people do not see it. The majority of the people do not see what you see. So you got to go about this betting on yourself on your own, going through it, believing that what you believe in is going to happen. That's the first thing that I would tell a person to start doing, is to truly bet on you. And that's what I would do, because it took, I didn't bet on me for a long, long time. Wasted a lot of time.
Damn, that's my bad. That's super deep, because like you said, most people don't take that chance on themselves. But when you're back against the wall, though, how I see it is, what do you really got to lose? Especially when you already ain't got shit.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you really got to lose?
Yeah.
If you lost it, you're gonna be right back to where you started at, which is at a ground point that's pretty where it's nothing at. And that's no knock to nobody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's heavy, bro. You talking that shit. But regarding, like you said, your strategy works in every market. Why is that? Because every market's so different.
It goes back again. Let's talk basketball again. There's a fundamentals of playing basketball, right?
Yep.
Now, does Los Angeles Lakers play the same way as New York Knicks play?
Mm-mm.
But they all do the fundamentals. There's a fundamental way of playing basketball. It's no different than real estate. There's a fundamental way of investing in real estate. That people compartmentalize things, and then they overwhelm people with that, making people believe that this is the only way of you getting into the game. I simplify it, and I tell people the fundamentals work everywhere. I tell people all the time, you're going to hear this from me first. No one else, I'm the first person to ever said this. When I tell people all the time, real estate investing is a flip. Everything about investing in real estate is a flip. When you understand that, it helps you to simplify everything for yourself. So if you decide,
Break it down.
So if you decide whatever you want, there's three main entry points of investing in real estate. Three main entry points. Wholesalers, flippers, buy and hold. Am I right or wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the main three that people talk about. If you understand the essence of it, they're all flipping. They're all flipping. You want me to explain to you what I mean?
Yeah.
So what does a wholesaler do?
Get a property, find a property, distress, get it under contract, sell the contract to somebody else.
Flipped it.
Yeah.
What flipper does?
Not the same thing, but
I tell
buy
you,
a property.
Get a property under contract at the right price point.
Mm-hmm.
Renovates that property to put that property back on the market to flip that property.
Yep.
There go two flippers. And what does a buy and holder does? Gets a property under contract at the right price point, renovates that property, rents out that property, then flips that current mortgage into a long-term mortgage for passive income. That's a flip. The whole business of investing in real estate is a flip. When you can understand that, then it goes back to what I talk about, the fundamentals. If you check the three entry points I just talked about, the common denominator for those three is the right price point. You make your money on the buy investing in real estate.
Yep.
So pick whatever market you want in America, close your eyes and throw it there. You make your money on the buy. So if you're looking to buy that property, for you to buy that property to rent out that property, are you, and the property is $1 million, but you're going to negatively cash flow $2,000 every month negatively for $1 million, are you going to buy that property?
You gonna cash flow it every month?
You're negatively cash flowing.
Oh, hell no.
You're not, you right? But if you get another property for $1 million in another part of the country, that's positive cash flowing every month. Are you gonna buy it?
No question.
All right. The fundamentals is the same. It doesn't change. So that's why I tell people, with the way I show you how to go about it, I don't care what you're doing. When people want to talk to me, they want to overwhelm me. Listen, bro, that don't mean shit. Who cares? These are the certain questions I need you to answer me. Answer those questions about XYZ. The universal language of the world is numbers.
Yeah.
That's the universal language of the world. The universal language of America is numbers. If the numbers don't make sense, if the numbers don't add up, it's not a deal. When you understand how to do that, you're off to the races.
Do you own where you live?
Do I own? Yes, I do.
Okay. Because I know a lot of investors' mindset is, what they say, rent what you own. Wait, is that right? Is it rent what you own where you live? Something like
that. No. Rent where you live.
Rent where you live.
And
own what you rent. Yeah.
Something to that effect. Whatever that right. is. I can't. I know what you're going at. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you own where you live. So what do you think about renting then? For people that's watching and listening that rent their apartments or houses
that are living that they're renting.
Yeah.
What do I think about that?
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do at the moment. But you got to start investing. If you live, if you're renting where you live, whatever it is, but you investing,
it's all good.
Do your thing. You have to invest, because one source of income is
too
not
close,
enough.
That's too close to none.
Yeah, it's not enough. For today, for where we at today, it's not enough. You need to find other ways. In addition, you need to find other ways to generate monies. I just happen to do it within real estate, in multiple ways within real estate.
Yeah, that's a, I like that. I like this conversation just because, like I said, so many people, when it comes to real estate investors, everybody has their own philosophy, the way to go about things, and it's also interesting.
What makes real estate so beautiful is because there's no one way of it. There's no one way of it. There's so many different avenues of it. That's why there's no excuse to you saying that you can't find an entry path for you.
So for somebody learning at a ground level, do you think how can I put this? Do you think they should just immediately go after bigger deals?
I don't worry about size, bro. For me, my attitude is always it's the quality over the quantity. Because you got people that love to throw sizes in front of you, blinding you. I've seen people posting up pictures of properties that they've recently bought and they've paid millions of dollars with the units on them. And the people going crazy in the comment section because the person bought this size portfolio. I talked to you about it, but I don't want to mention the names.
Right, yeah.
And I broke it down to you why it was a horrendous deal and how that party was not going to make any money. But for the world, it looked great because this person bought themselves a 15-unit building. So it looked great. Yeah, he bought a 15-unit building. She bought a 15-unit building. Listen to what they just said was the net, what was the gross income of the property. So if the person paid X amount of money for that property, just do the math real quick. There's no money there. But you got people that get caught up on size rather than the quality versus the quantity.
You always said the number of units don't matter.
Number of units don't matter.
And you was the first person I heard say that.
That's right. I know people that have. I have a gentleman friend of mine that got a 12-unit property, And I bought one of my four-unit properties, and we were buying them both simultaneously. He was just caught up on the fact he was buying a 12-unit property. I showed.
Sound good.
It sounds good. His 12-unit building that he was buying, by the time he bought it, he was going to be net profiting $5,000 a month. He paid over $1.2 million for it.
And he got $5,000 a month for $1 million property?
That's great. Most people will love that. $5,000 a month, net profit. He has an equity of $100,000. So his net worth for that building is $100,000. It's simple math.
Right. But it's $1 million property.
And he had to put 25% down. So he had to put $250,000 down.
That don't sound like a good deal to me.
I showed him that same four unit. That's when he was buying. The same four unit I showed you, the first one. I bought mine for $120,000 that was worth $450,000. Four unit. Just think about it, bro. Just think about what I just said. It's simple. He has a 12 unit. I got a 4 unit. He has $100,000 in equity. I got $350,000 in equity. My net worth is higher than his. But he has a 12 unit, though. And my property net cash flows $5,000 a month. Yeah.
See, that's wild.
Yes. So that's what I'm talking about when I say that. I'm not saying don't buy a 12 unit, bro. That's
right,
not what
right,
I'm
right.
saying, too.
Exactly.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is do the math. Do the math. I have another gentleman presented to me. They presented to me a 17 property portfolio just as of last week. He presented it to me.
17 properties.
17 properties. It consisted of about 45 or 46 units. And he asked X amount. It was a lot of money he wanted for it. I had to break them down per unit to make them make sense. He was selling them for at least $35,000 above per unit he should be. If I didn't understand that, I would have just been excited about just to buy the property. I would have just bought them.
45 units.
I did my math with him. I gave him examples of why this is my offer. I also showed him I own properties in the immediate area of you. This is what it is, blah, blah, blah. I offered it to him, and I said, this is how much I offer you for him.
What did he say?
No, thank you. I move on. He'll double back to me soon. I'm probably he'll double back to me soon.
No, absolutely, because it's ugly out here.
It's ugly out here, man.
It's ugly out
here. The opportunities that's going to be coming is going to be mind-blowing. Mind blown. In 2024, 2025, the opportunities that are going to be coming is going to be mind blowing.
You mean for real estate?
Absolutely. I mean, I only talk real estate, bro. Okay. You don't ever hear me speak much of anything else. I only speak about real estate. The opportunities are going to be mind blowing. And if you ain't a person that was setting themselves up in preparation, you're already done. You already missed out. Because the opportunities that are coming, the average person is not going to be able to play.
No, not at all. They can't play now.
America is turning into a renter's nation. America is turning into a renter's nation. They're predicting in the next 10 years, over 60% or more of the Americans will be renters. So your children that you are hoping to be able, that will be able to buy their own home, are going to be relying on you.
And build generational wealth.
They're going to be relying on you to set them up
so they could
to be able to get their home. Because imagine how it's going to look like if you have no help, and then you're looking to buy your home for the first time. Young people in the next 10, 15 years from today.
Is tax season. Are you a small business owner feeling overwhelmed by tax season? Are you looking for a tax firm to strategically partner with as your income and or small business grows? Look no further. Magnolia Tax Services is here to ease your burden and accelerate your financial success. I'm Eugene Marshall, the proud CEO of Magnolia Tax Services. I am federally authorized to represent taxpayers before the IRS. With several years of tax experience preparing taxes for individuals and small businesses, our firm's mission is to help small business owners with their tax and accounting needs. Magnolia Tax Services specializes in tax preparation, tax planning, tax representation, and bookkeeping services. We focus on making the tax process simple for small business owners just like you. Book a free consultation with us today by visiting MagnoliaTaxServices.com or by calling 414-285-2446. That's 414-285-2446.
Day is over. Damn. You led me right into my final thing. You talk about setting up the next generation. It's generational wealth. And you know, when we spoke on generational wealth the first time, you said you hate the term generational wealth. And they went crazy on the internet. They like, what you mean? Hey, you don't want to build wealth for the next generation? Break down, because I think so many people, it went over their head.
The majority of the people caught what
they
I said.
They caught what you were saying.
The majority of people caught what I said.
A lot of people was like.
Yeah, and you want to know what? A lot of people were butthurt.
They was.
With what I said. And then a lot of people that were making comments about what I said.
There's a lot.
You ain't even set your family up yet. It sounds good what their response was, but they haven't even set their family up yet. So for those people, I want to just make it clear. Generational wealth is very important. Generational wealth legacy is something that you should strive for you and yours. What I was talking about was the term. Generational wealth. The words generational wealth and how it was turned into a buzzword as a marketing strategy. That's what I said I hated. But people wanted to pick it out of what and take it out of context, and then also said, because everything that I explained was generational wealth. It's bingo. Exactly. And I said to people, and I say to people, why are we acting as if those things was not happening? Why are we acting like the things that was being done within our community to manipulate our community, to steal money within our community was not happening? Why are we acting like that wasn't going down? We all know what was going on. We all know what was going on with the different underground stuff. We all know what was going on. So why are we acting like it wasn't going down like that? So all I'm just telling people is just be careful out here. Just be careful. Stop taking things at face value. Stop just believing what someone claims.
You're going to lose every time.
Stop just taking what somebody claims to you at face value. Make them prove it. Make them prove it to you.
Hey, we can't wrap up about a name. Making proof, go to D's right here. Yeah, I'm going to hand that back to you, too.
Thank you, bro.
But before we wrap up, brother, I want to say, man, first of all, appreciate you coming out here to do this with me, man. Every time we link up, we make magic, bro. So before we wrap up, just plug in your stuff one more time for the people where everybody could stay in tune with you, follow you, all that great stuff.
The name is Welbiaselli. It's at my best 197. You can also go to my website, www.atmybest197.com, and be on the lookout. The next real estate kickstart is going to be launching very, very soon, and we'll be announcing it on my page. And Xavier, I appreciate you, my guy.
You already know it. And y'all can follow me on all platforms at the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast, and I'm at official Xavier Miller. That's everywhere. And that's all I got for y'all on this episode. See you guys next episode. Peace.